The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association. To Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Hope you're having a great morning. I think most of the country was watching the Super Bowl last night, and I didn't have a horse in the race, so I could just watch it and just appreciate good football. It was not the close game that people thought it was going to be. It was actually a total wipeout. It was 34-0 toward the end of the third quarter, and the Eagles were just they were just on a whole nother level. The defense for the Philadelphia Eagles was playing as well as any defense I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they just dominated the Chiefs. And so it was one of those things. It was like, okay, I guess we're not going to have history made with the first team to ever win three Super Bowls in a row. And they lost in, decisive fashion, just getting blown out. And the final score was 40-22, but there was just garbage points at the end. They scored 16 points in the fourth quarter, but it was a wipeout. And to the credit of different ones, Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Chiefs, for one, he said this. He said, I appreciate all the love and support from the Chiefs kingdom. I let y'all down today. I'll always continue to work and try and learn and be better for it. Want to give thanks to God for every opportunity He has given me. We will be back. And this is, something that we like to hear the post game, or at least I do. What are the guys going to say? You know, in victory, are you a good winner? Are you a gracious winner? Are you a gracious loser? And I thought the guys said the right things. Jalen Hurts gave glory to God. This was his post game. He was the MVP of the game.
You got back, and now you're a champion. How does that feel?
You know, God is good. He's greater than all the highs and the lows. And I think, personally, myself, I've just been able to use every experience and learn from it.
So he gave glory to God, and Andy Reid handled himself well. And so the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni, if I'm pronouncing that right, he said, God's blessed us very much. He gave us all the talents to be able to get here. So first and foremost, he wanted to give glory to God. First and foremost, thanks to him. So it was great to see that at the Super Bowl. It's great to see so many athletes standing up, using the platform that God has given them to speak up for Jesus Christ. And we saw that in the college game. So many Christians on Ohio State Buckeyes football team that gave glory to God, and we saw it last night. So it was very encouraging to see that, and it's exciting to see what's happening in our country. If you watch the game, you know that President Trump went to the game, first president that's gone to the game in a long, long time. Maybe ever. I can't remember what they said about that, but they put his face on the big screen, and everybody cheers. And they put Taylor Swift's face on there, and people boo. And I don't know. Trump said that they booed because his supporters are not very forgiving, and Taylor Swift was a major supporter of Kamala Harris. And so, anyway, who knows the real reason there? But I don't understand Donald Trump when he goes after people like that. I think you just let those people, burn themselves out. You don't have to attack them. And so he tends to do that. I like Donald Trump. I pray for Donald Trump. I'm glad Donald Trump is the president. I think he's doing a great job in the first few weeks of being a president. To quote Walker Wildman, who was on the program last week, he said, "I'll give him a 10 out of 10 for his performance so far." But I just think that Donald Trump would do himself a service if he would just quit going after people. He went after Jim Acosta. It's just like that guy's, you know, just let him hang himself. You don't have to try and, you know, pour salt in the wound. But that's just my opinion. Well, people were talking about the halftime show with Kendrick Lamar. Now, I'll be the first to admit, I don't keep up with who's popular in music. Music is really not my thing. And so I didn't know who the guy was, but I couldn't understand a word he said. And I'm not, my wife and I are both like, hey, we're not into rap music. I remember the Sugar Hill Gang when I was in high school, and they had a song, I forget what it was called, but you could understand the words. I could understand the words because the music wasn't overpowering, but I couldn't understand anything Kendrick Lamar said. And so to me, it was horrific. Todd Starnes posted on X. He said, "I think most people would have preferred to see President Trump at his desk signing more executive orders for the halftime show." Thought that was kind of funny. Somebody else posted and said, "Wouldn't it have been better if we had had the Village People sing YMCA?" And I thought that was funny too. I do think people would have liked that, the Village People. My engineer, Jay Budzlowski, who's also my son-in-law, he said it was Rapper's Delight. The Sugar Hill Gang had the song Rapper's Delight. I think it went for, it was like a 12-minute song, so they had to cut it down to play it on the radio. But it was very easy to understand. So you might have strong feelings about the halftime show. I don't understand why the NFL would do what they do, but they did. And they also, as you know, they had two anthems. So they played the Black National Anthem, which is Lift Every Voice and Sing. That's a song written by James Weldon Johnson and composed by Jane Rosamond Johnson. And, you know, I don't think we should have a Black National Anthem. I don't think we should have an Asian National Anthem or a Mexican National Anthem or any of these things. I think we just have the National Anthem. And so I think it's ridiculous. But I will say this. I like the lyrics in Lift Every Voice and Sing. And, you know, that song is in the Baptist Hymnal, 1991. And here's one of the lines from that hymn. "God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray, lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee, lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee, shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land." I like that. That's good. And what a great thing to sing, and what a great thing to live out, that, Lord, we don't want to forget you. We don't want to get drunk with the wine of the world. And we want to stand for Jesus Christ, and we want to stay true to God. Well, yesterday, I preached the last message in a series that I've been doing called Strong and Courageous. I was looking back through series I've preached over the years, and that seems to be a theme that's kind of just down deep in my heart that the Lord put there. And so I like that kind of theme, and it goes with what the apostles prayed in Acts chapter 4 when they were threatened to speak no more in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, we can't do that. And so then they come back, they release them, and they come back, and they get together with the rest of the believers, and they pray. And one of the things they pray, "And now, Lord," Acts 4:29, "take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, with all boldness, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And that's your holy son, not doulos, but your holy son, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness, with all confidence. Now, to me, that says, okay, that's the kind of prayer God longs to answer, because God immediately answered that prayer. They prayed for boldness, and God shook the place, and it's as if God is saying emphatically with an exclamation point, yes, that's the prayer I want to answer. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and what happened? They began to speak the word of God with that confidence, with that boldness. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I love that. We're to be bold. We're not to flee. And we're to be as the Lord told Joshua, who took over for Moses. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, people are attracted to strength. They're attracted to courage. They're attracted to bravery. I've said in this series that fear begets fear and courage begets courage. When somebody steps out in courage and strength and bravery and boldness, it encourages everybody else to do the same. There's a line from a movie I like called The Edge with Anthony Hopkins, and he said this: what one man can do, another man can do. What one man can do, another man can do. And they were talking about killing this grizzly bear that was chasing them. And, you know, God is looking. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. God is looking for people who would say, here I am, Lord. All I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Take my life. Use me. I want to be a yielded vessel, a surrendered vessel to the Lord. And when we are surrendered to him, and when we want his will, not our will, when we want his glory, not our glory, as it says in Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. When we really want that, God says, well, you want that? That's what I want too. And so I will use you. I will fill you. I will use your life to my glory. You remember when Moses encountered the Lord, Exodus 3, at the burning bush, and he said, I have to turn aside and look at this awesome sight. This bush is burning, yet it's in flames, yet it's not consumed. And he didn't realize that. And, you know, how can this be? And so he went, and then, you know, the Lord told him, take your shoes off, Moses. The place on which you're standing is holy ground. Now, here's what Moses initially thought. There must be something about this bush. But it wasn't the bush. It was God in the bush. It was just any old thorn bush. And here's the lesson for you and me. You and I are just, we're just regular old thorn bushes, so to speak. We're just regular people. And if you want your life to make a difference, if you want your life to be aflame with the power of God, it can be if you'll just yield yourself to him. And so when Moses was thinking to himself, what's the interesting thing? What's the unique thing about this bush? God said, well, it's not the bush, Moses. It's me. And what I'm doing in this bush, I can do in that bush, in this other bush, in this other bush, in this other bush. And this is what I want to do in you. What a great thought. God wants to do that in you. He wants to do that in me. He wants to be glorified. As John the Baptist said, in John chapter 3, he must increase and I must decrease. And when the Lord increases in your life and in my life, then people recognize us as having been with Jesus, as that says in Acts chapter 4, when the Sanhedrin, when Peter spoke to the Sanhedrin, they recognize them as having been with Jesus. They speak like Jesus. They talk like Jesus. They respond like Jesus did. That's the way the Lord works, and He wants to do that in you, and He wants to do that in me. And it's possible if we just yield ourselves to Him. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about an assortment of issues, but mainly we're talking about being bold and courageous, strong and courageous for the Lord. And so we're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about the Super Bowl and how teams win. You win with grace. And how teams lose. You lose with grace. This was head coach Andy Reid when he got to the podium after the game.
Listen, a compliment to our fans and all the support that they've given us. Today was a rough day. We didn't really play well in any of the phases. Didn't coach good enough. They did a nice job. I'm proud of our guys, though, for the battle, the fight that they put in throughout the year and all the games that they've played here over the last few years. So my hat goes off to the guys for that. And we'll learn from this. Like most games here, when you don't do very well, you learn from it as a coach, you learn from it as a player, and you move on.
So that was head coach Andy Reid. You know, that loss had to sting. Tom Brady, who was the play-by-play or color man for the game last night, he said, you know, he remembers all the games that he lost, and he said those just stick with you. Some of you may remember we had the coach of the Carthage Bulldogs, Scott Surratt. Scott Surratt is a legend in Texas for high school football. He's won 10 state championships. And I asked him about the wins versus the losses. I said, you know, which do you remember more? He said, I remember all the losses because those just sting. And it reminds me of Sylvester Stallone in the movie Rocky Balboa, which would have been Rocky VI, but he didn't call it that. He called it Rocky Balboa. And the famous, famous line when he tells his son, life ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, about how much you can take and keep moving forward. Now, that's a great line, and that is so true, because life is going to knock you down. It's going to knock me down. Nobody bats 1,000 for life. Nobody is, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in every way. He is the holy, holy, holy God of the universe. But life kicked him in the face, so to speak, as he bore the sin of the whole world. And he is our example, as Peter said. And how did he suffer? He kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. I like what John MacArthur had to say some years ago. He said, you know, when you understand the end of the story, when you see what's going to happen, he said, in this life, we don't win as far as the culture goes, as far as the world goes. Now, it appears that God is giving us an opportunity, a window of revival to hit our nation and spread to the world. And I think that Donald Trump being elected president was an answer to our prayers, because things were moving just so far to the left, as Kamala Harris, talked about being woke. We just need to be more woke today than we were yesterday, and be even more woke the next day. Just keep pushing all that liberal drivel and wokeness and DEI and you know, all the fringe things that we saw in our government with transgender insanity and all those things. So we've done an about face because Donald Trump is trying to bring us back, I believe, to a place of sanity right off the bat. And he said there are only two genders. He immediately got those deluded males who think they're females out of female sports. He's done a lot to restore law and order, to get dangerous criminals, illegal aliens out of our country. And so those are things that need to happen. Those are things that government is supposed to do, protect the citizens and enforce the law. It doesn't bear the sword in vain, as the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13. And then to look at all these agencies that are spending billions and billions of dollars to do an audit on those agencies and say, hey, we're going to audit this and to see where the money goes. And if you can't account for it, then shame on you. And does that mean that you stole it? Well, not necessarily, but it means you're derelict in your duties of being able to account for the money. And it's normal and natural for people to say, hey, you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. If you got $100 billion or $50 billion or whatever you got, and you can only account for $25 billion of it, and the things you do account for are ridiculous things. I heard somebody trying to defend the fact that we had Sesame Street in Iran, giving millions of dollars toward that. And they said, well, that's going to make the Iranian kids a little nicer toward America. That's just wishful thinking. That's just idiotic. It's not on the American taxpayer to pay for Sesame Street in Iran. That's just ludicrous. And so we need to get back to sanity. We need to get back to fiscal responsibility. All those things I think President Trump wants to do. He's looking at America as a business, and it's a failing business. And we look at the healthcare industry. We spend more money than any other country. We get the worst healthcare. That doesn't make sense. And so if you're spending all this money and getting nothing for it that's positive, you got to do something different. We all know the definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over again and expecting a different result. Well, you're not going to get a different result. And so we need to shake things up, not you know, just wild, willy-nilly, we're just going to do all this stuff and we haven't thought it out. Not like that. But we need to do things differently. And I played a clip some time ago from Milton Friedman, the economist Milton Friedman. He was being asked about different agencies in government and different departments. And he said, yeah, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of that, get rid of all these things that Trump is looking at doing. And hey, we're going to audit these things. And if we're spending all this money and getting nothing for it, what's the point? Let's get rid of it. Let's cut things to get rid of all the fat. Now, the question does come in, and I had somebody on Facebook, sweet lady, who said, hey, I work for the VA, and this is affecting me, and I'm not a thief. I'm not a slacker. I'm doing my job, but this is affecting me, and people are looking at me like, well, you work for the government. You must be on the take. And she was reacting to something I posted on Facebook. And I said, well, you know, obviously that doesn't apply to you, and it doesn't apply to every single person that works in government. Donald Trump works in government. J.D. Vance works in government. Ted Cruz works in government. My friend Mike Huckabee, who is hopefully going to be sworn in very soon as the ambassador to Israel, he works in government. We have lots of government employees that are good and godly people. Marco Rubio, an outspoken Christian, he works in government, Secretary of State. Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, he works in government. Good and godly people work there. We need to have more good and godly people working there. One of the godliest men who ever lived worked in government. His name was Daniel, and he worked in government for Babylon. And he was the top of the heap because of his integrity and because of the wisdom that God gave him. But we do know this as it relates to people in government and as it relates to changes. There are going to be some good people that might get caught up in the crosshairs. There could be some casualties in that, and our hearts go out to them for that. But you don't stop the reforms because a person here, a person there, a person over, in this corner somewhere may get hurt, may get caught up in that. If you shut down the whole department, there's some good people there that will lose their jobs. I understand that. And you have to look at what is best for the whole of America, not what is best for this individual, that individual, or the other individual. And so we pray for those folks. As I said before, my boss told me when I worked at Nalco Chemical Company, Jeff, there's always a job for a good employee. And if you're a good employee, if you're a hardworking employee, if you're honest, if you take responsibility, if you do the job and do the job well, you can always get hired. And as a believer, you trust God and do a good job and work for an audience of one for the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll provide for you. And so you don't need to be afraid. But the issue of taking the hits and taking the shots and learning from the difficulties of life, those are good lessons. And so we learn. Obviously, we love the victories, and we learn through the defeats, as Andy Reid said, as Patrick Mahomes said. We want to learn through this, and we want to get stronger through it. Don't let it keep you down. Now, I shared Sunday about Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. You talk about somebody that, to use the term that's used quite a lot, speaks truth to power. That was Stephen. How did it go for Stephen as he spoke truth to the Jewish religious leaders, the Sanhedrin? Well, they stoned him to death. They could not handle the truth. Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth from the movie A Few Good Men. Well, they couldn't handle the truth. He gave them the truth, both barrels. He gave them what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. And he was not concerned about what would happen to him. He was concerned about pleasing Jesus. And boy, if we had some more Stephens out there. I was studying about him over the weekend and just said, Lord, I want to be like that. I want to be like that guy who the Bible says of him, he's full of faith and the Holy Spirit, full of grace and power, and God was using him. He was a surrendered bush, as we said in the first segment. He's the thorn bush that Moses saw in the desert there. By Mount Sinai, and how God can use a surrendered vessel. He wants to use you that way. He wants to use me that way. And listen, when you're surrendered to the Lord and you do what he wants you to do, it doesn't mean that you're not going to face opposition. You will. Nehemiah was doing what the Lord wanted him to do. He faced tremendous opposition from Sanballat, Tobiah, and the leaders that were in the governing city or the cities surrounding Jerusalem. Lots of opposition, because the devil doesn't like it when we stand up for Jesus. He doesn't like it when we start moving forward for the Lord, when we pray for boldness and then we boldly speak. There's a great quote from Teddy Roosevelt that is sure to encourage. You know, we said that fear begets fear and courage begets courage, and we need to be strong and courageous. Dads, you need to be strong and courageous and a man of faith for your wife and for your kids, especially when times are tough, that they see you and say, well, Dad's not afraid. Dad is courageous. This is what Teddy Roosevelt, the 26th president of the United States, the youngest man to ever serve as president. He was 42 years old when he assumed office. He said this: it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. I love that. It's not the critic who counts. You're going to always have critics. And we have people criticize those in leadership, especially those who are going against the grain of the pressure of the world. I urge you, therefore, brethren, Paul says to the Romans, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Hey, as Christians, we're twice born people, living in a world of once born people. We are not of the world. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And so we just know that we're going to have opposition from the world. Stephen spoke the truth to the Sanhedrin. And the Bible says they were cut to the quick. They were sawn in two in their hearts. And they gnashed their teeth at Stephen. They were so angry. And as he kept speaking, they covered their ears. They didn't want to hear anymore about what he had to say, and they dragged him out and stoned him to death. And Stephen, what a man of God. It says, falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. He died. The Bible uses that, asleep, for death. And so he died, but he died praying for his accusers, praying for his killers. And what the scripture says, we are introduced in Acts chapter 7 to a young man named Saul. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus, who is going to become Paul, the greatest Christian who ever lived. Stephen had a part in his salvation, as Stephen stood courageously and boldly for the Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and you're listening to Real Truth for Today. We are opening the phone lines to take your calls, 888-589-8840. We've been talking about the Super Bowl and talking about being courageous to pray that prayer of the apostles in Acts chapter 4. Lord, grant your servants boldness, the confidence to speak as we ought to speak. Listen, when we are put into the situation where people are against us, as Stephen was. He stood before the Sanhedrin. You talk about being on enemy turf. That's the group that condemned Jesus to death. And he spoke to them boldly, and he called them out, so much so that they were cut to the quick, and they were gnashing their teeth at him. They had an experience, kind of a preview of hell, because in hell there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, according to Jesus. To gnash the teeth means to grate the teeth in anger or pain. And they had both anger and pain as they were cut to the quick. And they covered their ears. They couldn't hear it, and they couldn't handle the truth. They didn't want to hear any more coming out of his mouth. All they wanted to do was kill him. And they did. They stoned him to death, but he was so faithful to the Lord. And Stephen said, "I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." God gave him a vision of heaven. He saw the Lord there, and Jesus was standing at the right hand of the throne of God. The significance of that can't be overstated, because when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, but now he was standing. He was standing in honor and in appreciation for what Stephen was doing, being so faithful, faithful until death. As the scripture says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Will on the line from South Carolina. Will, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Jeff? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I heard you talking about the lady earlier who was a government employee, and I'm in the same boat. And I love the current administration, love what they're doing. They're doing great things, and I agree it is needed. But it's hard to tell some of the folks that, you know, I'm retired military after 25 years and work in the government, which a lot of the military, when they do get out of the military, they go into the government service. And they do get up and work the butt off. But now, you know, we're moving so fast, you know, it's going to be hard for people to lose their job in a riff and to say, hey, let's just go to Home Depot and make $17, right. $18 an hour when you're making good money. Basically, you got four or five kids to feed, right. And you got to move out of your house. You know, that's going to be tough. It's you know, it's easy on paper, but when you start putting it to rubber meeting the road, it's going to be tough.
Right. I totally agree. Well, I think this, Will, I think I've talked to a friend of mine that works in government, and he said, and I said, you know, if I were working and got offered a deal, hey, we're going to pay you, 10 months severance, and I knew that I had skills that were marketable skills, I'd be very inclined to take that deal from the government. But at the same time, if I knew that I was doing a good job and, you know, I prayed it through and the Lord wanted me to stay, I would stay and just say, you know, I'm trusting God that he's not leading me down a dead end here. And so, obviously, not everybody in government is going to be lose their jobs. I mean, there are a lot of viable government positions. This friend of mine that works for the VA, I mean, that's important. What she does is important. And so I do think that we need to have, as we do the accounting, as that was done at USAID, and then they're going to go through Education Department and then Medicare and all that stuff. We're going to see so much graft and so much corruption and so much money that cannot be accounted for. And those people need to be held to account that are doing that stuff. And obviously, that's not the rank and file faithful employees. That's somebody above them that's making these decisions. And those people need to be held accountable for it.
Love it too, and I agree 100%. And I tell my family, I'm like, look, I got a little analogy for you. You got neighbor across the street's got a house, and you know it's infested with cockroaches, right? Let's just hypothetically say you got 500 bad cockroaches and 500 good cockroaches. Well, the bug guy comes and he shines the light on, they all look the same. So you got to burn the house down and build it over, right? You got to restart. So anyway, that's kind of my little motto, and I understand you got to break some glass sometimes to fix it, and that's where we're at, and I agree the Lord will take care of his people, and I'm not, you know, it's just upheaval, and nobody likes change, but it's better for the country, and our kids will be fine in the end of the day, especially if we trust in the Lord.
Amen. That's a good word, Will. Thank you for that. Yeah, I have a friend of mine that worked for Walmart, and he worked for a VP there, and he was kind of one of the group. I think there was about 15 of them that were kind of his up-and-coming guys that were slated to be in great positions of authority there in Walmart. Well, the VP was caught stealing, and so they got rid of everybody that was in his downline, so to speak, all his mentees. And it didn't matter if you were good or not. You were just, your name was attached to his, and his name was Mud, and so your name was Mud, and they just let you go. But those guys that were solid guys, good workers, they all got great jobs. And one of my good friends now is president of another company and doing really well. So I appreciate the call, Will, and I appreciate the sentiment. Thanks, my friend. Well, we have David on the line from Virginia. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
As I was on hold, I'm thinking about, you know, what I wanted to say, and now it's starting to be like this is probably a confession from me. So I ask everybody listening to please forgive me. We watched the football game last night, and my wife was excited because she was waiting to see, you know, these guys, the ones professing to love the Lord, to say it on national TV. And as, you know, somewhere during the game, you can see Mahomes, they zoomed right in on him as he's saying the F word.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my wife and I don't mean to be judgmental. Because I am a hypocrite. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, and it's happened, that word comes right out of my mouth. But the wife and I were talking, and I said, you know, they really got to be careful about the platform that they're on. I mean, it's, you know, at any given time, you got a camera on you, and then if you're dropping F-bombs, the game, and, you know, but I feel bad that, you know, that happened. I hope, I don't know, I pray that the Lord is just convicting, but also, you know, loving like he is in Psalm 103.
Yeah, it's a good word, David. I think those guys do need to be careful. And, you know, for a lot of those guys, they may not be very far along spiritually. And, you know, God bless them that they're willing to step up and say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But they may be very, very, very young in their faith. And the problem with sports is so many people cuss. And if you hear that all the time, the guy that mentored me in college, a good friend, Sean Breedlove, he's been on this program. I interviewed him once some years ago. But godly guy, and he said when he got out of college, he worked as a bank examiner, and he said everybody cussed that I was working with, and he said it got into my head, and he said I didn't let it come out of my mouth. He was a strong believer, but he said I would think cuss words when something didn't go right because it was just something he was hearing all the time, and I think we need to be careful of that, and those guys no doubt are hearing that all the time on the football field, and coaches, so many coaches just cuss like sailors and give sailors a bad name. I like when John Wooden was the coach of the UCLA Bruins. He didn't allow any profanity. If you said a profane word, you were done for the day. He would dismiss you from practice. And John Wooden never allowed a cuss word to come out of his mouth. And the worst thing that he ever said was, and his players will tell you this, he would say if he got really mad, goodness gracious sakes alive. And Sidney Wicks, who played there and Curtis Rowe, they said, you know, hey, if he ever said to you, goodness gracious sakes alive, that was his way of really, you know, giving you both barrels. But I hope we would return to that. The way people speak today, politicians and coaches and things, it's just horrific. So, you know, I'm not dismissing what he did. Those guys need to be very cognizant of that, and people are watching. But I understand that lots of those guys are young believers, and they're in an arena where they hear that all the time, and it's hard for them not to have that stuff slip out. So thanks, David, for that comment. That was a good one. Paul from Texas on the line. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to make the observation, I'm probably not the only one that feels this way, that I'm watching the Super Bowl and I hear the music that's referred to as the Black National Anthem. It has some great lyrics to it that are universally true, but I can't help but feel a sense of irony that you're singing a song about a specific race or people that are victims at an event where a great majority of them are doing exceptionally well successfully in life because of that sport. And I feel like it's an over indoctrination, you know, probably the same way you and many other listeners feel. There will always be racism in any nation for the same reason there's, you know, sin and stealing and theft, and because it's human nature. But compared to where we are, it's more like woke indoctrination. In my opinion, there is institutionalized racism in America. It's called critical race theory, and hopefully the last election we've overthrown a lot of it.
Yes.
But I find that certain races, the worst conditions they suffer is wherever the Democratic Party rules. And I think that's probably the primary struggle there. So that's my 2 cents. Other than that, it's a sporting event. And yeah, I fixed my dinner while the music was on. I'm like you. It's not a musical style I enjoy.
Right.
But hey, I'm not the only person in America. So I hope lots of other people enjoyed it. That's
right.
My 2 cents.
Hey, very good, Paul. Good comments for sure. Yeah, I mean, you can't deny the fact that you look at these cities where they're run by liberals and they turn them into a waste place. I mean, it's just terrible, the conditions that these people are having to live in, and they're spending all this money and nothing is improving. Things need to change, and I think people realize that, and how the rate of change. You know, Donald Trump is working against the clock. He's got 4 years, and so he's wanting to make it count. And as we shared, you know, some good people are going to get caught up in that. As the caller just said, you know, if you have 1,000 cockroaches, 500 are good, 500 are bad. Well, the Terminex guy has taken out all 1,000. So some people are going to get caught up, and we pray for those folks, but we do need to remove the corruption and the rot that has infiltrated seemingly every aspect of government life. So I appreciate the call, Paul. We have Mark on the line from Kentucky. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning. Yes, Real Truth for Today, sir. I love your show. I'm amazed, actually. I'm kind of, amazed a little over the top. I'm surprised, actually, frankly, that they allow you on AFR because you're a bold man. I love it, sir. And I'm not dissing them. I am, but I'm not. I don't mean to. But what I want to get at is what you talked about, courage, because, you know, courageousness, being courage, it's contagious. And, you know, we thank God that thank you so much, Father. A word goes beyond words, Heavenly Father, that you heard our prayer and you responded. And in Trump's words, it's too big to rig, right? Well, when you got a mighty God with enough of us crying out saying, Father, please help us. You know, we got the change, right? The change that came about. But where's the hope, right? Because the hope and the stuff that those guys changed needs to be undone. And I think there's enough agreement here. The question is now that we've got the playing field back, okay, we've got the man, the key guy. He's not our savior. He's not a know-it-all. He's a fantastic example of a billionaire that walked away from his riches and his fame. He's still famous. But he wants served in a mighty way to get back to where we once were, one nation under God. And mm-hmm. so what is the, I would call it, consider it the church that has become far more institutionalized and concerned about H-E double toothpicks than other things, you know, cuss words, instead of just living life and saying, let's go, just like the team last night. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good word, Mark. Let me just say that Tim Wildman and the folks at American Family Association, American Family Radio, are strongly conservative. Tim is a good friend. He stands up. He speaks up for the truth. So does Walker. So does Wesley. So I'm proud and am blessed to be partnering with those guys and others on the program, on the network. They stand up for the truth. So I appreciate being a part of American Family Radio. Well, thanks for listening today. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And pray for boldness that God would use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.